This is Jennifer Jones of podtech.net, and I'm at the Dow Jones VentureWire Healthcare Innovations Conference on September 13th. And I'm speaking with Dr. Steven Nichtberger here in the lobby of the Hotel Sofitel, Redwood Shores. And he's CEO of Tengion. And welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, well, thanks for the opportunity. Tengion is seeking to become a leader in regenerative medicine through the application of our platform technology, which comes originally from the Harvard Children's Hospital and from MIT, based on 15 years of work by Dr. Anthony Atala and colleagues. Our technology platform uses a patient's own cells, autologous cells, and combines those with particular biomaterials, biodegradable biomaterials. And when we put the patient's own cells together with these biomaterials, for a patient who has an organ that is failing, we have the ability to build a new organ in the lab for them, and over a period of about 2 months, deliver a neo-organ, or an early version of a new organ, to the physician, to the surgeon, to implant into the patient who needs the organ or tissue. And specifically, our lead product is the urinary neobladder, which has been demonstrated to be an effective solution for bladder replacement and augmentation in animal models and in Nature Biotechnology in a peer-reviewed sense, as well the clinical human experience with the neobladder was recently published in The Lancet on April 4th of this year. And using that academic set of achievements, we decided in early 2004 to form Tengion around this technology platform and to advance the urinary bladder as our lead program on a platform of technology that was, as I described a moment ago.
So where did the name come from? What's Tengion mean?
Tengion is a name that was chosen by our chairman, David Shear, who was the founder of a number of successful biotech startups in the past. Among them, Esperion, a company that was purchased by Pfizer in 2004, as well as a number of other companies, each of them ending in ION.
So it has a good story behind it, because I know you've got a marketing background from Merck, so you really
right.
You understand the marketing aspects of having a name that means something.
Right.
So in terms of this whole balance of regeneration versus repair, talk to me a little bit about what's happening in the industry as it relates to those issues.
Yeah, it seems, especially based on some of the discussion we just had on the panel, it seems as if the fundamental insight that I think scientifically is evolving around regenerative medicine at this point is that the body, when faced with an insult, either due to disease or trauma, has a choice. It can either repair that insult or it can regenerate around that insult. And there are examples of both occurring in your everyday life. So if you cut yourself and you scar, you've repaired. If you cut yourself and you can't find the scar, you've regenerated. In a patient who has a failed liver, a transplanted piece of a relative's liver can go on to regenerate to a full and relatively normal liver, an example of regeneration in an adult human. And we all accept that. And so the question is scientifically, what is it that is causing this groundswell of new opportunities in the business of regenerative medicine? I think it really is fundamentally that we're gaining biologic insights into what it takes to get an organ or tissue to move down the regeneration pathway as opposed to the repair pathway. There's a long history by way of example. With bladder repair and augmentation, where scaffolds alone have been attempted to be used as means to replace a failed urinary bladder, and those have uniformly not given a good result. The regenerative process was overwhelmed by the repair process in those cases, However, when using the technology of the integrated technology platform of the cells and the biomaterial together, and processes specifically executed in a way that has been informed by 15 years of research, what you get is regeneration of full thickness, nearly normal thickness bladder tissue that functions and that histologically, anatomically, and biologically appears to be normal. So that's an example. The same technology can be applied in a variety of organs and tissues, from vessel to uterus to a variety of other tissues and organs that we are actively working on and advancing in our pipeline. We use cells that have already decided they are going to become one or another of the tissue layers within each of the organs or systems that we are repairing. So in the case of bladder, each cell that we are going to expand has already made the decision it's going to be a urothelial cell or a smooth muscle cell, and that it will generate additional urothelial or smooth muscle cells, for example. So there's really nothing at all controversial about the approach that we take with our core technology platform. I believe that for each, again, insult or injury to a patient, there's going to be a different solution that is seen as the most likely to succeed, most likely to give real clinical benefit. And so there's probably a variety of indications or disease states where different technologies are going to be best suited to solving the problem. But for the choices we've made, there's really nothing at all controversial about where we're going or what we're doing. And really, to reiterate that point, we're very focused as a company on the ethics of taking the regenerative medicine approach forward as we are. And so an important member of our scientific advisory board is Dr. Arthur Kaplan, who runs the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania and is a very well-known bioethicist and with a particular interest, I would say, in long-standing interest in transplantation bioethics. And given the extreme need for additional organs to make their way into patients who need those organs and tissues, we share a common interest in seeing this technology platform advanced to hopefully be able to alleviate some of that medical need.
So when will people sort of be able to say, okay, we've heard of this company, we can engage with you so that we can get help from you?
I would encourage folks to look on clinicaltrials.gov, where we'll register each of our trials as we start them, and perhaps on our website, which is tengian.com. I would encourage people to check there as well for updates.
Great. So that's TENGION.com. Exactly. And I've been talking with Dr. Steven Nickberger, who's CEO of Tengion, a very impressive company. And I'm here at the Dow Jones VentureWire Healthcare Innovations Conference. And thank you very much for joining me in the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.